round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, and the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. And by the way, let me say this. Part of the philosophy of these Marxist following people is to weaken our country where we will not be able to stand against our enemies. And if it was not for our last president strengthening our military back up, our military would have been in sad shape to have to face some of the foes that it faces right now. I'm really worried about our country, but I'm glad that I know who holds tomorrow. Look back just a moment. Notice again, if you would, in verse number 19. And it says, it came to pass when the judge was dead. The Bible says that God would raise up judges. And when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them, to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor their own stubborn ways. Turning, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes a minute, and I want to give you a thought and carry it through to a message real quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, right before the Song of Solomon and Isaiah. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I've often said that there's been some crucial moments in our country's history that has affected our country and every institution that God ordained. God ordained three institutions: marriage in the home, the government, and the church. And in instituting those things, we saw in this country, World War II, when we sent all our men out, our women left the homes and they went to the factories. We were used to that now, but then it was not normal. Then, primarily, the man earned the living of the house. There was a home. The mother, she helped teach and raise the children. And what happened was, we did that, and then when we come back, many of the women never went back into the homes. Divorce rates began to rise. Other things began to rise. Then we saw the generation that came from that generation. The generation that was produced by that generation was the 60s and 70s. You remember that, Jim, because Jim was in war and come back and had one spit in his face. Call him a baby killer. And it was a time of rebellion. What had to happen was, when our homes began to fall apart, the next generation, our children, began to fall apart. It was free love, free all this, free that. And against everything. They were just anti-everything. Then you go another generation. We come from the 60s and 70s. Now we come down generations of the 90s, 2000s. Now we've got a godless generation. We've got children that don't even know God. They don't even know the laws of God. They don't even know the history of this country. They don't know how much to appreciate the things of God. I'm not saying all children. I'm saying many children. Also, we see the progression here in Ecclesiastes of a man. Look, if you would, in chapter 11. You know, youth, there are some things that happen in a person's youth that's very important. Youth, in verse number 9 of chapter 11, says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart." The time of youth is to be a time of good times, to have fun, to rejoice. You're not sick a lot most of the time. You're healthy. You're able to do things. You don't have aches and pains. You got a lot of issues going on, and you got a lot of things to be happy about. Now we know Paul told us as the coming of Christ would come, children would change, and they'd be unthankful, unholy, all those things, and we're seeing that. But notice that God intended for youth to be happy, to be joyful. Not only that, but notice it also in verse number 9, he says, "And not only walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Now, youth got to be not only realize and enjoy their youth, but they got to be taught that there's going to be a judgment. They just can't live any way they want to and do anything they want to do. You see, what's happening in our streets of our cities? You've got godless people that has no conscience. They could take a life just like that and it wouldn't bother them whatsoever. They can destroy someone, it doesn't bother them. They can burn somebody's place down, it doesn't bother them. You know why? They don't have God. They don't have God in their hearts. And therefore, they don't realize and reckon that there's a judgment coming. You know why? Someone has failed to teach them in their youth. And in the inner cities, what's happened in minorities, all inner cities, but especially the minorities, is this. Fathers has had children biologically and left them, and the mother has been left to try to raise the children and work and provide for the home all, and therefore, and work two jobs sometimes trying to provide, and the streets has raised their children. And they've raised a bunch of hoodlums. And so therefore, regardless of what color or race they are, and that's why you can't walk in an inner city sometimes and not have a threat of your life. In youth is where children are taught the judgments of God. They ought to learn to fear God in their youth. Look on, if you would, in verse number 10. And also the Bible says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. The youth is a time that you begin to build your character. You allow some things in your life and some things you say, I'm not going to be around that kind of stuff because it's going to affect me and I don't want to be that kind of person. The youth is where you make those determinations. If you don't make them in your youth, chances are you're not going to make them. And so therefore, that's why it's important to have good training in your youth so that you can make those decisions. Look on, if you would. In verse number 1 of chapter 12, he says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. In other words, he reminds them that that is a time when they are to look to God and remember that God is the creator. And be honest with you, most of our children, if they're going to be saved, they're going to be saved in their youth. Chances are, if they go by and get into adulthood and not saved, it's hard to reach them. Because the world has calloused their hearts. But it doesn't mean that it can't be done. It just means that it's less likely to be done. Just like Jesus said about a rich man going to heaven. How hardly can a rich man go into heaven? Doesn't mean rich men can't go to heaven, but it's not easy for them to because they make money their God. Now, once we pass youth, then we begin to grow up to manhood. When we reach manhood, there's some things. Look, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, while evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, when you're a youth, you don't recognize how evil things are. But when you get to be a man, you look, and all of a sudden you're not happy. Everywhere you look, you see the effects of sin and what sin has done. Whenever I look at the inner cities, I see sin. When I pick the papers up in Pulaski County, I see sin. When I look into our homes everywhere around, I see sin. I see what sin is doing. It's happening everywhere, not only in cities, but in counties and countries as well. In other words, it's a time when we need to recognize manhood, that there is wickedness, evil all around us. And Satan is at work in everything he does. There are evil days that we live in. Not only that, but also if you look in verse 1, you've got to realize as well, when you're a man, you realize that it's not only evil, but you're in a warfare. When you're raising your children, you're in a warfare. You are warring against the world, the devil, and their flesh. Those are the three enemies that every child has got. And therefore, it's a warfare to try to win them and keep them. Not only that, but it's also a time of work. Verse number 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves and grinders cease, because there are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. In other words, manhood is a time when we work. A lot of work to be done. And therefore, we stay busy and much to be done. It's also a day when we walk and learn and walk in the fear of God. In verse 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and an almond tree shall flourish, and grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. In other words, it ought to be a time when we learn to walk in fear of the Most High, the High God, and fear of the Lord. And it ought to be a day when we witness our life. But then as we get older, there's some things that we need to do. In verse 5, there the last part of it says, we go to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosened, and the golden bowl be broken, the pitcher be broken at fountain, and the wheel broken at cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return to God who gave it. In other words, they are to realize that life is very short when we get to be older. Brother Junior and I was talking about growing old. Brother Roger was talking about me and him belonging to the same club, about being old. And old, fat, and ugly. I said, well, I sit on the board of directors, amen. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, when you begin getting older, you need to stop and get serious about some things. Number one, you need to realize that you're going to die and you're fixing to go home. You're going to return to the dust. And so it's a time that you reflect in your life about how temporary life is, how quick life has gone through. And therefore, also, if you look in verse number 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. It's a time when you regret a lot of things that you've done. You realize you've wasted a lot of years. How many of us, as 60 and 70 years old, can look back and say how many years we wasted? Some of you at 40 and 50 look back already. I tell you, when you really start looking back and regretting a lot of times, when you start having children and grandchildren. Then you start looking back and you realize years that you've wasted, that you wasn't paying attention like you should. And last, it should be a time when older men should get a time when you get serious and resolve. In verse number 13 and 14, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In other words, we have to come to a realization. Now, let's get back, if you would, to the book of Judges just a minute, and I want to bring that into the book of Judges. God had been awful good to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, God had delivered them out of Egypt. God had opened the Red Sea by miracle and let them cross, fed them and watered them in the wilderness, took care of them, gave them provisions in the wilderness, and delivered them into the land of Canaan, and delivered the Canaanites into their hands. You say, well, if God had been that good to me, I would have never forgot. Well, that should have been the case, because Israel was birthed in the furnace of grace, someone once said. I like that term. Birth in the furnace of grace. Some people think that America was just a happy-go-lucky experiment. But America was birthed in the furnace of grace. Man, there was hardships. And they come over from England, where they were prisoners and treated, and their rights had been taken away. And they came over here looking for freedoms. And it wasn't easy. It was hard. You read those first years, and they lost many of the settlers here and their own families and so forth. But God delivered those people. And when you read of the wars that they fought and how God took and protected America, and God's providence was with Israel, and so has it been with America, and how God's protection has been with both of them, and how God's power has been shown in both of them, and God's promises fulfilled in both of them. When you see that, you can't help but be amazed at what a nation we've had. But still yet, what happened is this. They've taken from the firm foundation that this country was set upon from the Word of God. It was established. 92% of the Constitution was either directly from or indirectly from the Word of God. It gave it a firm foundation. That's why it's lasted. Now we've shifted from the Constitution and the Word of God. We've shifted it to philosophies of men and wisdom of men of Harvard and Yale and places like that. And it's destroying this country.
Right.
Now, we're marred in gradual compromise. Men has been, men are afraid of men, afraid to say something. And therefore, what they do is they begin to show. When you read about the generations that went down, you read of Caleb. That was one of the two that was over 20 years old that came. And he told God, said, I want that mountain. God promised him a mountain. And he took that mountain. And the Bible talks about how that he worked. He believed God and he served God. But then you see the next generation, Othniel, when he come through. Othniel then, his generation, second generation from Caleb, they began to mingle with the Canaanites. Then the third generation forgot who God was altogether. What we find happening in our generation is this. The grandfathers, they weren't rich, but they worked hard. Some of these men here. Now, Cliff, I'm going to use him as an example. Now, how old was you when your dad died? Or left, when he left? And you had quit school and work. He was 12 years old. And he had to quit school and take care of his family and begin to work. He had to provide for his household at 12 years old. Now, who's here is 12-year-old? Okay. Now, think about that. Hold your hands a minute, 12-year-olds. Now, Cole, let me pick on you, Isaiah. Think about you too, Abigail. Think about if you all had to provide for your whole household right now at your age. You had to forget about fun. You had to forget about basketball, volleyball. You had to forget about all those things, and you had to quit school and go to work. He worked hard. What's happened is grandfathers, they weren't rich, but they worked hard, and they accumulated things. Then what happened was, the sons came in under the grandfathers. They enjoyed the riches that the grandfather worked hard for. But they didn't earn it. Then the grandsons come in, and they're lazy and don't want to work and don't want to lift a hand at nothing. Three generations. You see the same thing happening. Grandfathers was graciously saved from their sin. Loved the Lord. Their children, you see a generation drop down. And they're trying to live off their father's religion, their father's commitment. They may be saved, may not be saved, but they're not much to them. You can't get them faithful in the house of God and nothing else. Then their generation comes in, and guess what? They don't want anything to do with the Lord. And it happens over and over and over. And so therefore, what happens is we need to understand, too many of us, we have relied in this country, we relied upon the school systems to teach our children. And we just blindly ignored the fact of what was going on. The higher the education got, the more perverse it got. And now they're pushing it all the way down into kindergarten. We've depended upon Sunday schools to teach our children about the Lord. Some has, some hasn't. And we've forgotten. Let's go back just a minute. Let me give you this, and I'll close. What happened to these young people? The Bible says there's a generation, they grew up and they didn't even realize who Joshua was, who Moses was, what had happened. They didn't appreciate their nation. They didn't appreciate what God had done for their nation. That's exactly where we are right now today. If people really, if young people understood, they wouldn't have been, and by the way, I didn't hear one word about a mask when tens of thousands of them flooded our cities after Biden was pronounced to be president-elect. But when they go out there, they're cheering and so forth, and they're cheering about things. They're waving rainbow flags and all this kind of stuff, and they don't have a clue what that's going to bring on our nation. They don't have a clue of the establishments of this nation that has caused firm foundation in this nation. They don't have a clue when they say defund the police. They don't have a clue what this world will be like without police officers. To weaken the military, do you understand what this nation would be like? All the other nations in the world would come upon this nation, and they would hate this nation. You say they love it. The only reason they loved it is because we've been a piggy bank of all these nations. And I tell you what, when we get weak, they'll eat us alive. Am I telling the truth, Brother Jim? I'm telling the truth, ain't I? Now, look here. What happened with the older generation here? Why didn't the younger generation have? Number one, they weren't taught the ways of God. The Bible had told Israel every day, tell your children about the Lord and what he's done. Tell them every day how he's brought you and what he's done for you. You know, we've been too lax in telling our children and making them patriots of this nation. We've been too negligent in telling our children how good God's been and talking about God with them. Not only that, but also being examples and giving them dedicated examples to look to. Also tell them that there is absolute authority. This generation now wants to pretend like there's relative authority, no absolute authority. In other words, whatever you think over here is okay, and this and things over, but the Bible says, and we didn't declare, thus saith the Lord God, it's absolute authority. Yeah. Whether I agree with it, whether you agree with it, it's absolute. Yeah. They weren't taught the works of God. They weren't told what all God had done. I tell you what, you can't study the legitimate history of America without understanding the history, without seeing God's hand in the forming of America. And when you find out the real reason that America was formed, not only was it to get and evade the oppression they were getting, but they were also coming to this nation to bring about and preach the gospel to a world, an unknown world. Go into the details of history of what God's done. And therefore, we need to understand and teach our children things that will hinder the growth of this nation. They weren't taught to worship God in sincerity. We've got a generation, if they pretend to worship God at all, many of them, they worship anything and everything and don't have a clue who God really is. Sincerity. There is only one true God. The only way you can worship him is through Jesus Christ. And you need to know who Jesus is before you can worship God. No man come Father but by him. You need to set standards before your children. The older women, the younger women has purpose in the church to teach. The older women, older men has purpose to teach younger men and younger women certain things in the church. You have that responsibility. Not only that, some people says, well, I'm getting old. I don't have any use. Listen, we need your expertise. You folks have been through hard times, and all of you have been through hard times. Any of you that's 60, 70, 80 year old, I know you've been through some hard times because our country went through hard times. This generation needs your expertise. They need some knowledge from you, some strategy on how to deal with certain things in their life. Also, they need the wisdom from your experience. You all have experienced some things that they'll never experience. These kids need to know. And I appreciate some of you older ones that takes time with these young people and tries to talk to them and tell them and do things with them. I appreciate that. Knowing that, they also need an example. They need you all to be examples for them. And last but not least, they need you all to be encouragement to them. I've seen too many places where they just write the young people off. I thank God for our young people. But listen to me, young people. If you all don't learn these things in your youth, you'll grow up to be a generation that will forget. And you won't recognize, and you won't realize what got you here. And when you don't recognize and realize what got you here, you don't appreciate what you got. And when you're not taught to work, and you're not taught to work for things, and you're not taught to stand for things, and you're not taught things of God in your youth, that's what caused the decay of generations that raises up and forgets where they came from. Our problem right now is this. We can blame it on past generations. We have failed this present generation by not preparing them for this day. And now we've got a mess on our hands. And we need to pray and keep reaching out. Listen, no country is ever beyond God moving in on it. No country is. But I'll tell you this. If we keep going, we'll continue seeing the judgments of God fall against this nation. And so therefore, we need to wise up. And we need to be serious about what's going on around us. Amen. And pray and lift it up. But you know the most wonderful thing? I was telling about things when you get older. But a wonderful thing about it, know this. If you're ready and you know Jesus Christ, if that day comes, you step from here and you step in a place that you'll never have to endure none of this stuff no more. And it'll be a wonderful, wonderful place. Amen. Thank God for that. Let's stand tonight, if you would.